Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Here's the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown, Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte!
Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
They kind of are doing whatever they want with the running game. I'm almost jealous. I'm like, I want to get out there and run through one of them holes, man. Like, this is too good. I'm missing out.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
Freddie Gibbs.
Probably have at least 45 Bears jerseys alone. Like, man, I'm a real Bear, man. I really do this.
Clearly.
I do have a peanut jersey as well. I got one of those. I got a Matt Forte. Hey, man, I got like 50 Bears jerseys.
That's amazing. We have Matt Forte on every week here. We adore that man. That is
love Matt Forte.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
Yeah, Freddie Gibbs was on the show yesterday, and he was talking about how much he loved Matt Forte along with everything else. It was kind of dope to get his perspective on what it's like to be a Bears fan and how crazy it was over at Soldier Field. Like, Soldier Field was littered with celebrity Bears fans. Common was there. I think Chance was there. Freddie was. It was wild. And then the Bears alumni was out, too. It was a lot of fun. Big Ann Heron is sitting in for Spiegs on the Spiegel and Holmes show. And we get a chance to talk with our guy, Matt Forte. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Matt, thanks for joining us, as per usual. We appreciate it. Look, you have been spot on and very transparent in your feelings about what happened in 2010 and 2011 and how you guys let the Packers into the playoffs and you regretted letting them into the playoffs. How satisfying was Saturday night for you?
First and foremost, what's up, fellas? And, man, it's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good week, man, because, you know, I just not only personally appreciate the win and in the fashion that they did it in as well, even though obviously for being nitpicky, you know, you'd like to start better than that. But I feel like since over the last few decades, you know, this rivalry has obviously been in their favor for the most part, we'll say that. And they have had something to brag on, rightfully so. And so it feels really good that we have this team put together and a coach who embraces the rivalry And also, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the post game handshake and all this other crap and the stuff that he says in the locker room. And the man, it's a rivalry, man. Like, he is, he's fully embraced it. I love it. You know, nobody said anything when, you know, other players, you know, like such as Aaron Rodgers talk about they own the Bears and just the stuff, you know, it's funny how when the shoe's on the other foot, how it looks. So I'm relishing in it. So, you know, y'all can hate all you want. I love it.
There's a lot to love about it. And if you take us back to your playing career and Lovey's demeanor, personality, very different from Ben Johnson. How did Lovey go about trying to make sure you guys recognize the importance of the rivalry with the Bears and the Packers?
Yeah, I think Lovey was just more straightforward when it came to and then not that Ben is like roundabout. He was just a little more low key and just, you know, there was not many, a lot of hoopla when it came to it. He was like, look, y'all know what it is. And when he first, you know, was hired by the Chicago Bears, he said, you know, our goal is first and foremost to beat the Packers. That's what he said. And so, he had his mission and his mission statement, and everybody else fell in place when it came to that. And we knew that we our goal is to beat them, and then you want to win the division, and then you want to win the NFC, and you want to go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. So, you know, Lovey was more of that. That's not his nature or his character to be, like, really outspoken or, like, you know, charismatic and loud and all of that. But I mean, I remember games where we were getting beat at halftime, and it may be the Packers and or maybe a divisional game, something like that. And man, he'd come in at halftime and you'd see a whole different Lovey. And we would go out there and it would you know, things would change. So, you know, he took the rivalry serious as well. It's just a different approach that he had. But I love, you know, how Ben is handling himself and how he has created a culture of his own and his own competitiveness, which is contagious. Like, you want guys who are the ultimate competitors to compete that way day in and day out, no matter what it is. I mean, you could be playing ping pong. You know, you want guys to really be the ultimate competitors each and every day so that, you know, the game is about matchups. It's full of matchups. And so that you take it really seriously and you win your matchups when you're out there one-on-one or being double team, whatever it may be.
So, Matt, you said that you love to see the Bears start a little bit earlier, and that makes complete sense. What are the things that in these games that we've seen them have these incredible comebacks, but some clunky starts? Is there anything that matches from game to game that you think that they could do a little bit better to get off to a better start?
Yeah, I just think, and sometimes it's just that's how games flow. You know, so you can't really put a pin on it sometimes that, you know, sometimes you're trying to figure out their defense. It's a chess match. It's not checkers. And sometimes it takes a whole half to figure out what holes you're going to hit in the defense and what, you know, opportunities you're going to exploit and take advantage of. And so it's easier said than done to say, yeah, I want y'all to start fast. Sometimes it does take a little bit to be figured out. But at the same time, when you got Ben and his offense and the way he calls these plays and sets up other things, I think the execution aspect on early downs, like just being, you know, not trying to do anything crazy. Like, let's get positive yards on first and second down to make it third and manageable. And yes, that may be boring, but when you're chunking your way down the field, using the running game, using screens, short passes, play action, things like that, that's how you eliminate the you know, three and outs consecutively or getting behind in the game, you know, like 21-3. But at the same time, I can appreciate that they haven't gotten behind due to a ton of, you know, physical mistakes or mental mistakes or where they are turning the ball over or pick sixes or fumbles and things like that.
Matt, it's a unique thing, probably more unique than I think a lot of sports fan bases realize, where not every fan base ends up experiencing having a quarterback who you always feel like your team is in the game. And especially for Bears fans, that hasn't been the case with quarterbacks for decades at this point, for the most part. What was your viewing experience like just in watching that game play out and never really having the door slammed on the Bears, knowing that Caleb has that potential to lead him back into it?
Yeah, I mean, it's special. It's special. We're watching something special. We're watching, you know, a guy who's a budding superstar, but as well as the supporting cast. You know, you're watching, you know, Colston Loveland come along and do what he's been doing. You know, early in the season, we was like, I honestly said it. I was like, where is he? And he's, you know, showing up, you know, in every drive that they have. And, you know, to see what he's doing as a quarterback, what Caleb is doing, it is unique. It is unique to know and to have that confidence that, man, this dude is clutch. And that I think it brings everybody up to a high standard where this dude can make all the throws on the run, running the opposite way, running to the sideline where, you know, he's not left-handed and he's throwing it over there on point. The touch that he uses also and the accuracy on these things. I think it's amazing to watch, and that the supporting cast, the receivers, the running backs, everybody around, just you raise your game up to where you don't want to disappoint in an aspect where everything goes well and then you be the drop off. So the competition and stuff like that breeds, you know, I think the best and brings the best out of everybody, but also an elite play and execution level brings the best out of everybody all around as well.
Is there a player that you remember playing against even where they made plays and you were sitting there going, how did they make that play? Because when I watch some of this stuff, and we're talking about the best players in the world at the NFL level, and you're right, like seeing Caleb make that play where it's not just him delivering the ball, it's him delivering the ball, moving to his left with the Packers. That was their plan. They wanted to push him left, and he still throws a perfect ball on a gotta have it situation. Do you remember any players when you were playing that were like this and you're like, man, I can't believe this guy did this?
Yeah, plenty of guys. And it would be frustrating because they'd be on the other side of the ball sometimes too. And you know, Calvin Johnson, you know, we'd be playing them and it's like, man, how can this guy just continue to make these plays? I know he's a big receiver, but he's catching everything in traffic, you know, double team, triple team, you know, and a guy like that was one. Adrian Peterson, you know, how is he getting around or breaking this many tackles and that explosive to be able to, you know, cut back and just nobody's able to get him. Who else? You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, some of the throws that he would make, and the guys of his supporting cast, like Jordy Nelson, who was in my draft class as well. You know, they would do these crazy things where, you know, they just are, they're never out of it and they're always open, you know, things like that. But there's plenty of guys around the league where, you know, their talent level also matches their hard work. And it just breeds excellence, and you see it out there and on display. And when you talk about the NFL, it's the height of athleticism and power and strength and speed all mixed into one. But when someone can really put that all together on a consistent basis and you see it, it really separates them from a group of those who they do show up and at that elite level, but there's just something different about them. So yeah, you know, those are some of the names that, you know, are from within the division that I've played. I mean, there's plenty of guys across the league too, that it was a great, you know, era when I played, as well.
I want to stay with that because it's strange to have you on the show and know that the quarterback that's playing against the Bears on Sunday is a quarterback you played against when you were on the Bears, and you played a lot of games against Matthew Stafford. I know that it's asking you to go into the vault and the time machine, but this guy, from what he started as to what he is now, what do you see?
Yeah, Staff is a guy who is dangerous. You know, when he came to the Lions and he had less of a supporting cast than that he has now, he was still dangerous. He was one of those guys where you knew that we needed to put up points on offense because they're never out of it. You know, it was reminiscent of what, you know, is kind of being built here right now. And if there's no pressure on the quarterback, man, he'll pick you apart. And he can make all the throws. He is smart, you know, knows where the blitzes are coming from. He's been, especially now, he's a lot more wise as you continue to play. Obviously, at 37 years old, people probably were counting him out this year. And he has 40-plus touchdowns, over 4,000 yards, you know, passing. And it is something that he's that special that he has. And, you know, this team is not going to come in here and lay down, you know, with Davante Adams and Puka Nacua and the running game that they have with, you know, some young running backs that they do have. So, man, it's he's a special quarterback, and he's one of the guys that, yeah, you definitely are, you know, you have to get pressure on him and not let him take control of the game. Because if you let a guy like that do it, just like he did in Carolina this past weekend, it can be dangerous.
A lot of folks find it hard to believe sometimes how locked in you can be as a player in the moment, not necessarily being aware of the, you know, specifics of what a fan might say to you or what's happening in the stadium around you. But there are those moments where either you're elevated by it because of the volume of the home crowd, or you allow yourself maybe out of the moment just to say within the competition, like, man, this is pretty cool. And it really seems like, you know, those who were there at Soldier Field the other night were all able to take that in to a large extent. Do you remember a moment during your career, like folks talking about Soldier Field, the press box shaking and everything during that game as the tide turned for the Bears? Were there any moments in your career where you had a game at Soldier Field where you just said, man, all right, we really got things cooking, where you had to kind of step back and soak it in?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of them. And it is just, you know, playing a decade long in the NFL gives you those moments where you do start to step back. And I did it in normal games where there'd be a TV timeout. You step back at Soldier Field, which was my favorite stadium, just not just because it was home. It's just the historicness of the field and those who played there before me. And then you take in the crowd, you know, especially those early games where the weather was nice. And it's just something special. It's kind of a, you know, people have an outer body experience. It was more like inner body, you know, because I was still locked in and so focused on the game that it's one of those times, like, because, you know, when I'm running the ball, when we're in locked into a game, I don't hear the crowd. I don't hear anything. You know, even when I got the ball, like, it's almost like things are in slow motion and there is no sound except the sound that I can hear of myself running the ball. So it's something special when you can look and take into account something like that. So I don't think I've ever had a moment probably like how Soldier Field was this past Saturday, because that's just a whole different level and a different type of game. You know, we probably got close to that level, and some of those games ended up going the opposite way when I was playing. But man, the one game that I do remember where the crowd noise was something that was insane, and like the stadium, it felt like the stadium was rattling. Was we played in Seattle one year, and I caught a pass and got down to like the 5, and man, the 12s were screaming and yelling. We called the play, could barely hear the play, but got enough out of it from Jay to hear the play, and it was a run play, and man, we called it on like 2. But you can't hear anything going, and all I'm looking at is Jay's back. And, you know, when the ball moves, I move. And I got my helmet on, and I used to wear a visor, and the visor was vibrating. And I can just remember that moment so vividly that not only it was so loud, my helmet was literally, the visor was shaking. And I was like, this is pretty cool, because I think I scored, and it got really quiet. So I was like, oh, man, that's pretty dope. But yeah, it was so loud that time.
Matt, as always, man, we appreciate your perspective. Great seeing what's going on with the workhorse stuff on Instagram as well. This is a great time to be a Bears fan favorite and an alum. And I know that you feel it from people that you interact with every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate, I mean, I have an appreciation for what the Bears are doing, how they're handling themselves. Even organizationally, and it's something to admire. Just being there during some of the tough years and tough times, you can really appreciate what they're doing right now. And we support them all the way. You know, I'm gracious enough. I'm going to be there on Sunday night. And I'm one of the captains, so I'm excited. I'm going to be out there as one of the captains.
Let's go.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Oh, that is phenomenal.
Breaking news on the score, man?
That is breaking news. Our guy, Matt. I kind of love the idea of, like, him dapping it up, too, with Matthew Stafford.
Right?
Like,
right?
Being like, yeah, remember us? Like, look at us. Look at us now. Like, you're still out here. This is crazy. Matt, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That is Matt Forte. How about that? Our guy Matt Forte going to be one of the honorary captains on Sunday. Oh, God, I love that. I love that.
You know that run game is going to be cooking then with Forte in the house.
It got to be.
Uh-huh.
All right, so here, all right, can I make a request? I'm going to make this request. If the 49ers win, I'm going to need George to bury the hatchet. I'm going to need Olin.
Ooh.
I'm going to need Olin to be an honorary captain for the NFC Championship game.
Okay.
If the Bears win and the 49ers win, I'm going to need that to happen.
Yeah.
I will pay Olin the $15.
I was going to say, has that rate been adjusted with inflation? Or?
You're right. It's probably like 25 or something like that now. I will pay Olin the $25 so that George doesn't have to, because I know he has to keep his money to build this new stadium wherever it's going to be. But that should be a hatchet that is buried, and it should be buried at the 50-yard line of Soldier Field.
Now, do they do honorary captains at the Super Bowl, too? Like, would it be cooler to be an honorary captain at the Super Bowl at a neutral site versus at home?
No, I want Olin at home.
Okay.
Okay? Because I feel like that, like, I want him at home. I think for the Super Bowl, it's Urlacher, okay. Right? Like,
Urlacher just got to be it the other night.
Yeah, but he wasn't the honorary captain. He just showed up at the fourth quarter.
Oh, some I
people,
got you. Okay.
And some people
he was
say,
a hype man. That's true.
Right. Okay. And some people say, that's why. I got to tell you, I thought it was so cool that him and Devin were in their Hall of Fame jackets.
Yeah.
Like, right. I'm not wearing my jersey.
Uh-huh.
I'm wearing my Hall of Fame
the gold
jacket.
Yep.
And now let's get this thing going.
Uh-huh.
It was very cool of Grady Jarrett to be like, yeah, my first year in the league was blocking for Devin Hester, and I wasn't going to let him down with him in the house. So
they offered me $15 an hour to come in there as like an independent contractor. That is exactly what they did.
That doesn't help us bury the hatchet, though. Like, I thought we tried to bury the hatchet.
Well,
y'all bringing up old stuff again.
There's a couple of steps before we get to it, but
just about anything that Olin says with a grain of salt?
No.
Still not helping.
No. When Olin says something, it has been said, sir. I will pay him the $25 an hour for him to be the honorary captain for the NFC title game. It has been declared.
All right. I'm on board.
We got to take a break. When we come back, our buddy Kaylin Kaler was at the game on Saturday, and she's got some intel from inside both locker rooms that she wants to share with you.
She was great on social media. I was looking at a lot of her stuff after the game.
She's unbelievable.
Also had the snowy backdrop going, too, which is really cool.
Man, I'm so jealous of everyone. Like, Caitlin Sharkey has a picture on her Instagram.
I saw that.
That I'm pretty sure Common took. And I'm like, man, because Common was like a credentialed photographer for the game. And like, she's got one. I think Cassie has one. It's crazy. It's cinematic stuff they got on their Instagram. It's quality stuff. We'll talk with Kayla next here on The Score.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
And Kaylin, you are the best. We appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on the show.
Thank you.
That is Kaylin. She is awesome. We love having her.
I'm in the bowels of a Lambeau Field.
From now on, that's how we're going to bring on every reporter we ever get from Lambeau Field for the eternal life of this radio station.
That's right. That is a top-notch all-time drop, Kaylin. You are a legend now. You're a score legend.
Thank you.
That's Kaylin Kaler. And strangely enough, even with that, she decided that she would come back on the show. And we appreciate Kaylin Kaler. If you're not following her on Instagram, you're doing football wrong. Kaylin Kaler Reports is where you should be following Kaylin Kaler. She joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. What's up, Kaylin?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lauren Tan. How are you?
What's up, Kaylin?
We are doing really, really well, and you were in the bowels of Soldier Field this past weekend, and I love that you invited everyone to geek out with you about the Bears and their fourth down decisions. What did you learn about that, being in that locker room and talking with people around the Bears?
Yeah, so this actually, like, spurred from a conversation I was having during the game with somebody with the Panthers, because when the Panthers played the Packers earlier this season, they only had the ball, I believe, 7 times in that game, which is really low because the average drive per game is about, I think, what did I write, 10.6. I think it was 10.6 or 10.8. And so I was texting this person with the Panthers, and I'm like, wow, the Bears' strategy here is, like, blowing my mind, like, how aggressive Ben Johnson was on fourth down. And he normally is, but It felt different, right? Like, we saw that 4th and 5 from their own 32. And I was like, oh my God, what? There's, like, no analytics model that would support going for it there. I mean, I think you'd be hard pressed to find any model that said, yeah, that's a go situation. So I'm texting this person in the Panthers, and he's like, well, you know why they're doing that, right? It's because of the Packers dominating time of possession in, like, every game they've been in this year. And it's been a consistent theme of the Green Bay Packers offense that they were just mounting really long drives and holding onto the ball for a long time. So this was something that the players in the Bears locker room told me, well, the strategy all week was to be aggressive and go for it on fourth down in basically any scenario, because they knew if they were to give the Packers the ball back, they don't know when they're going to get the ball back, essentially, because the league average drives per game, as I said, is like 10.8, and the Packers' average was in the 9s. So they were averaging about a drive less per game, which means their opponents were seeing the ball so much less. So Ben's strategy essentially was like, we're not going to give them the ball back. Like, we're going to just extend these drives as much as we can. And they weren't very successful, actually, on fourth down. They only converted 2 of the 6. But they wound up, and there's a lot that goes into time of possession, you know, not simply just what your offense is doing, but, like, they wound up this time with a 5-minute edge over Green Bay in time of possession. And in their first, or not their first matchup, in the last matchup at Soldier Field, week 16, the Packers had the edge in time of possession by 12 minutes, which is crazy. That's a crazy number. So Ben's strategy ended up paying off, and he just kept going for it and going for it and going for it. And even though, like, statistically speaking, converting 33% of your fourth down attempts is not a good number, it ended up working for them in the long run.
I know when you're there covering the game and in the press box, it's hard to kind of track everything that's happening on the TV copies and whatnot. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Lawrence about yet the demonstrative nature of Caleb in game on the sideline. You know, the let's call it miscommunication with Burden on the fourth down that leads to an interception. And frankly, I think you can even look at the last game of the regular season where Ben Johnson said that Detroit game was the most simple game plan they've had throughout much of the year. But there were some mental errors, and Caleb seemed more visibly frustrated, frankly, over the last 2 games than we've seen in a while. What do you make of this more demonstrative version of Caleb with the season on the line?
I actually really like it. Like, one of the things, and this is just me observing in my own personal opinion, this is not, you know, reporting from any sources or anything, this is just my opinion, but, like, one of the things that I've always kind of wondered about with him is where has that emotion been? We saw a little bit of frustration last year. Just, I remember some clips of him, you know, speaking with Shane Waldron on the sideline, and you saw a little bit of frustration during that last season. But I just remember, like, he's very, very poised in his post-game press conferences, and he still is. Like, he's still very, very much in control of his emotions and his mood, and just seems very professional in his post-game press conference. And I've always kind of wondered, like, you know, where is that, like, where is that emotion? Where is that drive? And I think we are seeing it now, and I actually really like it. Like, I think it shows, like, we've always known he's competitive just based off of the success that he's had in his football career. Like, you can't be that successful and achieve what he did in college and be such a great player without having that, you know, competitive edge. But I feel like we didn't start seeing it until very recently. And I think that's really refreshing. And I think also, like, probably Ben Johnson's fiery competitive nature has brought that out of Caleb, right? Like, it seems like, the two of them are very different, I think, personality-wise, but I think in that aspect, in competitive nature, I think they're very similar. And I think when you see, you know, your head coach, like, dropping F-bombs in the post-game, I don't know, what do you call that, like, speech in the locker room, like, that's going to bring emotion out of the players, too. If you see your coach doing that, you're just, whatever your coach does, naturally you're going to mimic. So I think it brings a lot of that out of the players, too.
So as someone who grew up here who understands this thing, and now you have this national platform at ESPN where people can write, can read and watch your work, what was it like to be in Soldier Field for that craziness that happened in the second half of this game?
Yeah, it was really cool. When you're in the press box, I am in the first row, and so right underneath, the press box is, like, the lowest suite level. There's, like, 3 levels of suites on top of the press box. So, like, right underneath us essentially is, like, seats, like, regular seats that are outside in Soldier Field. And so it's all glass, right? So, like, people who sit right underneath me outside in the field, like, they can, like, look up behind them and, like, see me. And so there was this, like, group of guys. I don't think it's who normally sits there, although it feels like it's different people every time. Like, I don't really recognize any regulars who are in that row. But whoever was there this week, like, every time in the third and fourth quarter, when the Bears scored or something good happened, they would turn around and start, like, pounding on the glass to get my attention. And I would just, like, throw them a little thumbs up because I'm like, you know, I'm like, guys, like, I'm not rooting for anyone here. Like, this is, I'm like, yes, this is exciting. This is a great game. Like, I just want to see a great game. So I was like, thumbs up to a great game. Like, So it was like, I would say like in that aspect, it was definitely a unique and probably different environment than like most of the games. But like, it was interesting because I felt like at the start of the game, it was kind of lacking energy. Like even from kickoff, like I was like, this feels like less energetic to me than the week 16 game. And I think maybe that was because there were noticeably way less Packers fans there. Like I felt like this was like a 95% Bears crowd. Like there were very few green and gold that I saw, at least from my vantage point. And so I was like, I feel like there's like less tension amongst the crowd because like it's mostly Bears fans. But then obviously like things got really bad in the second quarter. And then as the Bears came back in the second half, I mean, the energy was great, and it literally everybody was tweeting, like, it's shaking, and it felt like that in the press box because literally the people right underneath us are, like, banging on the window, like, that we're sitting in front of. So, like, literally the glass is shaking because people are banging on it.
That's some wild stuff. Caitlin, yeah. You are the absolute best. We appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on the show today. Thanks for the insight on fourth down. And I've hoped you recovered from the people banging on the glass. I've been in that moment. It is a very weird experience to try to explain to people who can't hear you. There's no cheering in the press box, so I can't join you in that thing. But thanks for helping to paint the picture.
Of course. Well, I hope those guys are back this coming week, and then I can say hi to them and, you know, get their names or something. So I can give them a shout out on the air next time.
Thanks, Caitlin.
That's dope.
Thanks, guys.
That is Caitlin Kaler, who is awesome. Check out her work on ESPN. Follow her. She has such an interesting mind. I feel like she is one of the people that has changed the way that sees a different way that football can be covered. Mm. So you should be following her because she has these really creative ideas on stories and stuff. And when you see it play out, like her being able to reach out to sources in other places to help explain what it is the Bears are doing and why, like bringing some reason to it, was really, really cool.
And I'm picturing the situation she's describing where somebody's trying to get her to interact with them, and she's like, I'm not allowed to cheer right now. She's probably like miming back to them in some way or hoping they can read her lips perhaps. All right, thumbs up. Yeah, we're good. But I'm not mocking you. I just can't do what you're doing right now because this is a professional space.
And they'll take your credential for stuff right, like that. I've had that happen to me too. My seat at Soldier Field when I was covering the team was front row as well. And people would be like, hey, media, get up, get up. And it's like, that's right. that's not the thing that
if
happens.
If I want to stay media, then I'm not supposed to
right.
do that.
Like, I can do that if I'm out in the stands with you, but I can't do that here. But great perspective from her. When we come back, we haven't talked about this story that's happened with the Bears over this weekend, and the game overshadowed it, but I think there's an important thing here, a milestone, if you will, happened this weekend, and we should talk about it. Plus, there's some roster moves that we need to update you on. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Or
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback.
With the 10th pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, Tennessee.
Darnell, big athletic guy, physical. The one thing that stands out with him, he's a tone setter. He plays with an edge to him. He's a nasty dude who, when you watch the tape and like, all right, we got to play the Bears next week, you go, okay, like this is going to be a long day.
It's a win for Ryan Poles. Darnell Wright was named an All-Pro this past weekend. Second team All-Pro for him. First team All-Pro for Kevin Byard, which I'll get to his importance in a second. First team All-Pro for Joe Tooney. I'm not surprised at Byard or Tooney at all. I think that Kevin Byard has been one of the best free agent acquisitions in the NFL over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. He's been everything you wanted him to be, and his ability to show leadership inside of the regime change, to be kind of the guy that'll hold it all together and then be like, no, this guy that's coming in now, like, this is a real guy, and we need to follow him.
Now, you would agree he's been much better this season than he was last year.
Agree, yeah. But I've been, I mean, the guys will tell you, I've been saying that he's going to be an All-Pro since about week 8.
Okay.
His ability to bait quarterbacks into bad throws,
yeah,
it's part of the reason that he's one of the league leaders over his time in the league in interceptions. The Joe Tooney thing, you can speak to this more than I can. Just forget about the locker room stuff for a second. Mm-hmm. What's been his impact on the field?
The dependability, the consistency that's necessary at the interior of your offensive front, where there have been at times wild swings for Drew Dahlman and Jonah Jackson, and their best is exceptional. There's no doubt about that. Joe Tooney, he is just the same dude. Every time he takes the field, you know that he's going to be technically sound. He's going to be proficient in where he's supposed to be, knowing his assignment and the confidence that the Bears have had as they've cycled through left tackles, and they're about to hit another cycle with another left tackle here with Isaac Trapillo being out of the lineup. But having Joe Tooney at left guard has been able to stabilize what they've tried to do with the interior of that offense, but then also stabilize how they're confident and comfortable operating with three different starters, three different individuals starting over a variety of games at left tackle throughout the season. But that consistency can be really underrated because it's not always going to be a highlight reel block like you see from Jonah Jackson or Darnell Wright.
Yeah, Darnell had a couple of really high-profile pancakes this year.
Yeah.
Along with really good play. Like, he wasn't just a highlight machine. He also played really well. And then you add the highlights into it.
Yep.
I think that it's allowed people to see him through a different lens than maybe they did before.
Right. And for Joe Tooney, it's just that consistency of knowing that he will rarely give up immediate pressure. He will rarely be a guy who you get an MA, a missed assignment from as you snap the football. He will know who's got to be there, where they're going to be, and the preparation he shows day in and day out has continued to equal production at this stage in his career. The other side of the football, you know, Grady Jarrett, yeah, the intangibles, the leadership, the effort, all those things still show up now that he's healthier. The production isn't on par with Joe Tooney, but there's a reason those guys were signed, to try and fortify and add a maturity to the approach of the interior of the lines of scrimmage on each side of the football. And Joe Tooney, you still have a higher level of production in, you know, for the full scope of the season than what you get from Grady Jarrett. Now, I would argue the other day, they were both really, really good. We saw the best of Grady Jarrett, but Joe Tooney, what he gives you both tangibly and intangibly is huge.
And with this, like, Darnell Wright being an all-pro, it helps to set up the him to be viewed. All pro is more important than Pro Bowl. Okay,
yeah,
like
right.
I want to make sure I whiteboard that for people. It means best at your position, and so he's second best at his position of right tackle. And for their whole careers, people are going to track Jalen Carter versus Darnell Wright. Mm. Now I think it's a little unfair to Darnell because he could end up being great. And the impact that he has at his position is a little different than the impact that Jalen Carter can have and has had already at his position. But it doesn't stop him from being great. And this year, he has been great. And it's been fun to watch all of those things come together for him as it's coming together for the team.
And I know you had, at the time, really strong thoughts on that comparison with Jalen Carter versus Darnell Wright.
I still do.
Right. And I felt like at the time, the recognition, or at least the belief internally, that the Bears didn't have a mature enough locker room to try and nurture what Jalen Carter was and perhaps even sustain what Jalen Carter would end up bringing into it because of his perceived immaturities that have shown themselves time and time again with the Philadelphia Eagles.
And there's a bunch of like Georgia guys on that roster. So yeah. That, you know, you are building a nest for him that maybe you didn't have here.
Yeah. But it was about, if you're not going to draft that guy, you better draft excellence because you're passing up on him. And we've seen season after season that Darnell Wright has become more and more of the picture of excellence at right tackle. And so for him to get an all-pro nod at this stage in his career as the team success really equates to that also. But, you know, because there's so many guys who study film at a high level out there, to be able to recognize and appreciate what Darnell Wright has meant, and especially because left tackle, like when Braxton Jones was at left tackle, a lot of the open field athleticism was Braxton Jones being taxed with that, because in power, he wasn't a great left tackle in power, but his athleticism was utilized a lot. But then, you know, he had the bum wheel opening the season up. And so now it's turned into Darnell Wright, not only what he can do at the point of attack, but because at his size, he is an incredible athlete. So you've seen a lot of moments of Darnell Wright at the second level and on tunnel screens, being able to pull from the formation and just waylaying tea kettle and blockers out there in space. So you're seeing an athleticism to his play right now that Ben Johnson has been able to feature in the offense that didn't necessarily get to show up as much earlier in his career.
You mentioned Braxton Jones, and there's news on that front. The Bears announced today that TJ Edwards and Ozzie Trapillo are on injured reserve. So they're done for the playoffs. But you probably knew that about TJ Edwards. When they have to bring the air cast out,
yeah,
it's never a good thing. So that means that the Bears have activated Braxton Jones. So he's now good to go, like on the active roster. They signed Jalen Reeves-Maybin, who had been hanging out in and off the practice squad for forever. And they signed Nephi Sewell. Yeah, did you know there was another Sewell brother?
I feel like there might be like four or five more out there.
Well, I think he played in the Bears-Saints game. But he was a Saint, and now he's a Bear. So you replace one Sewell linebacker with another Sewell linebacker. So that's
so this is Soul Brother number three.
Yes, he is Soul Brother number three. And two of them are on the Bears roster. So there's that. That's the latest roster news on the Bears as they get ready to take on the Rams. By the way, Kaylin is very happy that you guys are following her on Instagram. And she texted me and let me know that. So if you're like, oh, Kaylin's cool. Kaylin Kaler Reports is her Instagram handle. Follow her. You will not be disappointed. If you like ball, she's got all sorts of interesting nuggets that she puts out there from covering games. When we come back,
Let's get Matt Bowen's thoughts on why the Bears were able to turn things around in the second half. Too many Hawkeyes here. Next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.